talk about peace with God through Jesus. And the text that we're going to start with here is Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This sounds amazing. Who doesn't want peace in their lives? But we do live in a world full of conflict, a world that looks for offense, to take offense, a world united in divisiveness. And yet our world seeks for peace, peace in the face of wars, in the face of environmental calamities, in the face of economic uncertainty. And looking at all the unrest around us, you know, we seem surprised as though we've forgotten the words of Jesus when he was talking about the end times. What did he say? He said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. You know, when we look at the world around us, we see this prophecy of Jesus coming true. And in the face of all this, as we see these things happening, it's very easy to get scared, to fear the end of the age. But he did not say these things to scare us. He didn't say these things to create fear. He told us what the end times would be like to warn us that life was going to get difficult before he returned. And as he was facing his greatest difficulty, preparing for the cross, he looked outside himself and saw his disciples, who were most likely filled with fear, both for him and for themselves. And this is what he said to them. In John 14:27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. If you think about it, how could he expect them to obey that? How could he expect us to obey that? You know, when we see all the conflict and confusion around us, how are we not to let our hearts be troubled? You know, we're like Peter, who was walking on the water to meet Jesus during the storm. He saw Jesus. He actually walked on the water. But then the waves and the wind rose up around him, and he was overwhelmed by the confusion and the power. And he took his eyes off Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In our troubles, I think many of us do turn to Jesus, and we quote Philippians 4:6. We say, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we do that. And we sense God's peace for a while. But then afterwards, soon the waves of anxiety rise up, the winds of worry deafen us. And we take our eyes off Jesus and begin sinking. How do we keep our heart free from trouble? How do we keep a heart of peace? Jesus said he gives us peace. But what is the peace that he gives us? And what does it mean to have peace with God? Well, let's first begin with a definition of peace. Peace is one of those words that most of us think we know what it means. But then when we try to define it, we find out it's not necessarily as simple as we thought. And as we look at the origin of the word, we find it maybe a little more complex than we expected. My Greek is not good, but you know the source word for peace is irene, which means the absence of war. And that's one definite definition we think of with peace. But it also carries a much deeper meaning when we talk about people. It's the Greek word for shalom. And shalom has the idea of wholeness and prosperity for the individual. It comes from the word, the root of the word being iro, which means to join or tie together. And the Greek gives a sense with this word, actually, of being like ligaments that join bones together. And so when we're looking at peace, It is not just the absence of conflict, the absence of war, but it goes to the harmony between individuals, even harmony with God and man. In fact, that is the basis of peace, harmony with God. Earlier this year, we have been studying the Old Testament, stories of the Old Testament, and learning how the Old Testament still applies to us today. And really, the stories of the Old Testament were meant to give us pictures, to help us learn who God was, and to give us an understanding of how he works with people. So for a deeper understanding of peace, what we're going to do today real quickly is just recap the story, a story in the Old Testament, and that's the story of Jericho. And that appears in Joshua chapters 2 and 6. I'm just going to summarize what happened. I think most of us are familiar with this. But basically, children of Israel are going in to take over the land. And Joshua decides that before Israel attacks Jericho, he's going to send out two spies. These spies go out and they stay with Rahab, who is a harlot. And the king of Jericho found out about these spies, and he sent to Rahab and told her to bring the spies to him. She told him, no, they've already left the city. They've gone out. So the king sent out after them to chase them down. And this is where the story gets interesting. She goes back to the spies, and she says to them, Jericho's heard of your God. Jericho's heard of the wonderful, mighty works of your God, and we're scared. And so she pleaded with them that the spies would spare her and her family when Israel destroyed Jericho. Then she let the spies out of the city by a rope from her window. And at that time, the spies told her that she and everyone in her house would be saved if she left a red cord out her window when Israel attacked. And that's exactly what happened. Israel attacked and they were saved. Well, this story is really a picture of what is going on with salvation in the world. God's coming for a judgment of sin. That's the end of the age. He's going to destroy sin. It's just like the Israelites coming to Jericho. God had told them that they were to totally destroy the city and all the inhabitants. Now the people of Jericho heard of the Israelites and they were scared of God, but instead of repenting, they thought that somehow they could escape the judgment, and they laughed as the Israelites marched around the city. But Rahab was different. She heard of God, she believed, and she turned to him for salvation. This is one of the applications we get from the story. Although the judgment of God is coming, we can turn to him, and in doing so, we are saved from the coming judgment. Just as Rahab and her family were saved and adopted into God's family, the nation of Israel. In fact, Rahab was even included in the line of Christ. So, at this point, some of you might be saying, okay, great, good story, good application, but I thought we were talking about peace. And yes, yes, we are. This is where peace begins. Peace with God. We were under the judgment of sin. God was at war with us. But when we turned to God for salvation, we were justified before God and no longer under the punishment of sin. We had peace with God, not a sense of calmness and serenity, but a true harmony with him. So back to the verse for today. We're going to look at two of them. Now, Romans 5, 1 and 10. Now, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know this verse, but we really need to think about verse 10 to understand the full impact of it. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. He is at peace with us. We are joined with him as ligaments join bones together. We are connected in peace because of Jesus. So, just like the people of Jericho, we were enemies of God, destined for destruction. But Jesus came, we turned to him, we pleaded for a way of salvation, and he gave us a red cord to hang from our window. What's the difference between us and non-believers? We were both residents of a city marked for destruction. We both know the judgment is coming. But we turn to Jesus while they try to fight against judgment. They mock the judgment. They feel secure as the Israelites simply walk around the wall. When the wall finally falls, they will fall under judgment while we escape judgment because of Jesus. The only difference is in whom we place our trust. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. The difference is in whom we love. So as we contemplate this peace that we have with God, as we recognize the significance of the peace, and as we try to move forward in this peace, I want to think about three things that Jesus said when he was talking about the end of the world. He was talking about how we were to, or how following him would affect our lives. So the first thing I want you to recognize is that all people desire peace. They just don't know how to get it. Second, is that Jesus did not come to bring peace among people. And the third thing is that Jesus gives us true peace. We're going to be looking at Matthew 10, 28 to 39. Firstly, Jesus tells us, that although over here. My speaking ability is not as good as I would like. Firstly, people do desire peace, but they're looking around the world today. And when we look around the world, it's difficult to find places of peace. We hear of wars, rumors of wars, just as Jesus said we would. We see conflicts within countries, warring between different political and ideological points of view. We see conflict within the church, as many churches pull away from the Bible. We even increasingly are seeing people at war with themselves, with their own body. Yet, what's the cause of these conflicts? Well, sin, of course, but also in most of these conflicts, there is a striving for peace. If one country can defeat another country, there will be political peace and prosperity, they think. If an ideology can overcome another ideology, there might be a new utopia ushered in. If someone can be free to express who they are, get their body to reflect their true self, they can have people accept them and they can learn to love themselves. See, these pursuits may be violent and contentious on the outside, but they're simply expressions of people looking for peace. Well, how do we approach this? It's not enough just to say, well, come to Jesus and you'll find peace, right? I mean, it seems overly simplistic. And this is where we need to go back to the definition of peace. Peace is more than listening to a gentle river flowing while we forget our cares or contemplating a placid lake. If that was what peace was, Buddhist meditation would give us peace. It's more than a sense that all is right in the world with our relationships. It's more than feeling like a life force is filling our true purpose. What did Jesus say about peace? Well, first he said, do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And you think about that. Yeah, I think I'll quote Perry here. Hear that, you go, what? Well, you know, I did not come to bring peace. He's the Prince of Peace. What do you mean he did not come to bring peace? Yes, he did come to bring peace, but there's a little bit more here. So, first, let's look here as Jesus discusses this, Matthew chapter 10. The first thing he says is that we are valuable to God. He says, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many. That's the first thing he tells us in this passage. Then he goes on and says this. We have to confess him as Lord. Therefore, if anyone confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father, who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father, who is in heaven. He continues, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Very clear that if we turn to Jesus, we will face difficulties and opposition. Because, like we mentioned before, people love the darkness and don't want to come to the light. So if we follow Jesus, we will face hatred, and relationships will be broken. How then do we find peace through Jesus? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life, my sake, will find it. Jesus gives us true peace. If we're willing to place all our all in him, to place him before anything else, we will have peace. As he had said already, and talked about in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give you. Let your heart be troubled, nor let be fearful. So the peace that Jesus brings us isn't the same peace as the world brings us. It isn't the peace of tranquility or comfort or personal fulfillment. The peace he brings us comes through us losing ourselves, dying to ourselves. That's what baptism is about. Those of you who are considering baptism, what this is about, dying to yourself. Those of you who have not yet been baptized, time. Come to him. You need to die to yourself. It's a physical act demonstrating our spiritual position. Once we're joined with God in peace, we should be able to walk on the waters of life, regardless of the troubles around us, because our focus is on Jesus, not way. So I know I've taken you to many passages today, and sometimes I think that when I try to give a sermon, about half my sermon is passages rather than me talking about them. And that's probably good, because the wisdom actually is in the scripture, not in me. But now it's time for us to get back to Romans. Then we were talking about peace in Romans. I haven't talked much about Romans yet. So back to our anchor text that we have been justified by faith, we have peace through God, we've been reconciled, even though we were his enemy. So Paul goes through this, and he talks about really the same basic things that Christ was talking about. The first thing is that he does acknowledge all people are looking for peace. In Romans 3, 10 to 18, says this, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands, none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they've become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their paths, the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And the key in this They have not known peace because there is no fear of God. They're pursuing other things, but there is no fear of God. Without the fear of God, there is no peace. Remember, God doesn't desire any to be lost, but all to come to a knowledge of the truth. But first we have to fear him. That is Paul next says that we are reconciled to God through the renewing of our mind. And there are a few passages that talk about this, but we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Paul says here, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the Spirit is life, peace. This is dying to ourselves, setting our mind on Christ, finding peace with him. And then Paul takes it one step further. And this, because we have peace with God, because we are not troubled by the cares of the world, we are to be bridge builders to the world by living out a life of peace. We are to be like those spies in Jericho, infiltrating enemy territory and pointing those who truly want to know God back to him. In Romans 12, it says this, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When I look at this list, this passage here, I am convicted. How many times do I want wrongs against me to be righted? How often do I wish that I could exact my own revenge? But because we have peace with God through Jesus, we are to bring others to him through our love, through living the life of peace in front of them. This is because we've died to ourselves and are now walking in the Spirit, focused on Jesus. It's no wonder that Jesus called the peacemakers blessed, called them the sons of God. Our mission is to help others realize that they need ligament surgery. They need their ligaments attached to God. Then and only then will they find peace, true peace that passes understanding. But in order for them to find that, to see that in us, we need to be good ambassadors. They need to see that peace in our lives. So my challenge to you today is to take some time to contemplate your relationship with God. And so I've got this paper in front of you. If you have something to write, you might write it down or just think about this yourself. This first question seems to be, it's one of those questions where you know the right answer, but I'm asking you to look into your heart. How do you currently define peace? By that I mean, what are you seeking for fulfillment? Be honest with yourself. How are you seeking fulfillment in your life? How are you seeking peace? Then I want you to consider this. Oh, there's a nice typo. What are the waves and the winds in our life that distract you from Jesus? Going back to that image of Paul walking on the water, being distracted by the waves and the wind. We all have waves and wind in our lives. What are those things that are blowing in your life right now? What are the waves that are distracting you? And then thirdly, how are you pursuing God in your daily life? How are you keeping your eyes on Jesus? Just think about this. What are you doing? And now I want you to contemplate some other questions. First, two are somewhat rhetorical, but for living out peace, for being those bridge builders, as ambassadors of peace to the world, we need to have three things in line. First, think, what type of peace do you want? The obvious answer should be, as Christians, we want the peace that passes understanding. We want that peace from Christ. Be honest with yourself. Do you really want that? Are you willing to die to yourself to pursue that peace? Secondly, can you trust God with the waves? I know we should be able to. I know many times in my life, I had waves. I couldn't trust them. I had difficulty trusting God. We need to be able to think through that. Can we really give that to Him? And then lastly, what are you going to do today, tomorrow, and tomorrow to pursue God, to keep your eyes on God? Are there changes you need to make in your life? Are there things that you can do to keep your eyes focused where they need to be? Really, in this, I'm just trusting the Spirit to be moving and working in your lives, letting you know what it is that He is calling you to, where it is in your life you need to change. And honestly, in our lives, we always need to be changing. If we're not growing, we're dying. We can't stay the same. We need to be pursuing Him. You know, Paul says he presses on to the calling of God every day. He's never done. We're never done. So I wish peace on you all, and I wish us all to be great ambassadors of peace for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for the gift of Your Son. We thank You that Your Son came even while we were enemies to You, that He provided a way back to You, a way of peace. And Lord God, we just pray that we will be able to live out that peace in our lives, that we will be able to trust You with our problems, that we will be able to die to ourselves, that people will see us walking in the Spirit. They will see that Spirit living out in our lives, and they will be drawn to it. And they will turn, Lord, to You and ask for that salvation from judgment. Father God, I pray that You will also help each of us to rest assured in Your love for us, in Your desire for us to grow. And Lord, I pray that You will build up in our hearts a real longing to be closer to You, a real longing to walk in the Spirit. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.